Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, episode 48, in an ongoing series of pop culture explorations, mainly involving television. I am Boyd Hilton. I am joined by Stephanie Seelan.
Hello.
And Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
Two of my esteemed colleagues. Two esteemed colleagues. Does that make sense?
Are we your favourite colleagues?
Yes.
You've had no sleep, so
no.
Are we?
Yeah, I should say here and now that if I make no sense whatsoever for the next, I don't know, what, 55 hour minutes? Mm. Hour minutes is already not making sense.
45 tops, guys. Come on, let's keep it.
I've had about 2.5-3 hours sleep. I was up doing the Oscars last night on the Sky coverage and finished about 5.30, got back home about 6, 6.30 maybe, 3 hours sleep came in. Then I went to do thing at 5 Live, TV review at 5 Live at 3. And now I'm doing this. And now after this, I'm doing my football podcast.
Boyd,
I don't want to say I'm a hero.
That's all very well and good, but are you as tired as I was last Monday when I had extreme jet lag?
You haven't even noticed that Kay's back.
Yeah! Oh, yeah, Kay's back. Oh. First one. Oh, my God. Because we were going to do this on Friday, and then we didn't for whatever reason. So, yeah, I feel like, welcome back,
Kay. Anyway, so thank you. And I officially was more tired than Boyd last Monday.
Snowmageddon happened last week,
Snowmageddon,
remember?
Yeah.
Couldn't get in.
All of these events. But let's just say we are doing some meaty stuff this week. We're reviewing some meaty stuff, starting with the new BBC Four Saturday Night subtitled drama, Below the Surface.
Love a foreign drama.
We've gone for a bit of fun, a bit of froth. What do we call it, the slot?
Fluff. You call it fluff.
It's the fluff slot. Mm-hmm. It's Five Star Hotel. It stars some doofuses from Made in Chelsea, some other doofuses from Towie, and some other doofuses.
And some doofets.
And finally, in sharp contrast, brainy science fiction epic Annihilation, which is effectively a film from the guy who directed and wrote Ex Machina. It's his new film, and it's coming to Netflix today, Tuesday the 12th. Oh, no, next Tuesday. Sorry, next Tuesday.
Oh, Oscar brain.
Got confused there. Already Oscar brain. But it's a proper big film. It's come out in cinemas in America, and it's going straight to Netflix here in what can only be described as a new phenomenon.
Yeah, what is going on?
It's a thing. I've written about it in Heat magazine.
Just nutshell it.
Is Netflix killing movies? No, it's fine.
Oh, that's a short piece. How many words was it? 10?
Yeah. Some films are being shown in cinemas in America and then being shown on Netflix here and internationally. Other films are going straight to Netflix, like Mute, the very bizarre and frankly perverse new film from David Bowie's son.
Right.
Yeah, so it's interesting. But cinema will survive. It'll all be fine.
But how are they making the money?
Well, because Netflix needs to keep its subscribers happy and they need to get new subscribers, and new subscribers go, oh, look, my God, they're showing actual proper cinema films now.
Well, I tell you.
And I don't have to go to cinema and pay 20 quid to go and see
smart.
It. So I'm going to sit down at home on a Friday night and watch on Netflix.
Well, I tell you what, I've gone up in my Netflix subscription. I've gone to multiple screen.
UHD.
Have you?
Ultra high definition.
I've gone and this is all legit above board. $7.99. Everything I do, Kay Ribeiro, is above board.
Well.
But can we'll I just say, that. I saw Churchill and Shape of Water in my house at the weekend, somehow.
Someone's been naughty. FYI, I have started watching Netflix officially in a big, big way. So
you got Netflix a few weeks ago, though.
Yeah, I know. But I've actually...
You're still watching.
Yeah, I got it a few weeks ago, but I only started watching
it. Right. By the way, if you sense a certain disturbance in the force, like sound quality-wise, it's because we're in a different room this week.
We're in a new sweat box. It's really hot.
So we'll review those things in depth. I might go on a little bit more about being on the Oscars last night. Recording this Monday afternoon.
This is a temporary room, we should say, just in case the sound quality is upsetting you.
Please, God, don't think we're going to be in this room forever.
We're not.
But so before we do that, what have you two been watching, listening to, reading, for heaven's sake, Steph?
Well, as I've said previously, I watched this weekend, because I tried to watch all of my Oscar films before the Oscars. I watched Shape of Water.
You were in the cinema a long time.
Honestly, luckily they had those seats that I need available. Shape of Water, I watched Churchill, but I also...
Darkest Hour, Churchill.
Everyone
film.
Knows it as Churchill.
Yeah, the Churchill.
Oh, for Oscar brain, you're ever so picky, honestly. Want to get the right names
sorry,
what
of facts.
Names
what a
of
pedant.
Films. Yeah.
I apologise for wanting to stick to the facts.
Well, and I also went to watch Black Panther.
Oh, not an Oscar film, but, you know. Next year, hopefully.
Boyd.
Sorry.
Stop
it. Am I nitpicking? Carry on. God.
Picking those nits. Stop it.
I went to watch Black Panther, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, John Dan, that M'Baku was the absolute best thing about it. Wakanda forever. That's all I've got to say to you people. It was absolutely excellent. I loved it. And I will also, although it pains me, agree with you that What's-His-Face was that brilliant villain. Oh, I can't remember his name.
The Michael boy, B. Jordan, yeah.
Michael B.
Jordan. He's phenomenal.
He was a great villain, although...
Best villain in all of Marvel history.
Oh, his skin really upset me when he took his shirt off and he had...
Bubbles.
The bubble skin.
Dry. Bubble skin.
Oh, no, he's got bubbly skin from all the people he's killed.
Should have exfoliated.
Oh, it's horrible,
I don't know what it is. It's just bubbly skin.
No, it's where he's kind of like given himself a little jab for every person. It's very neat. For every person he's killed, he's given himself a little jab, but it's
also... Oh, God, it doesn't look like bubble wrap, does it?
It looks like skin.
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap. It's horrible. So yes, very good. I'm still Kay. Mm. Now, when you were off, we discussed greatly 24 Hours in Police Custody. Have you been watching that?
No, but is it still set in Luton?
It's still set in Luton.
Of course. Is it your manor?
It's set in my manor. It's set in my hood.
And have you seen anyone you know on there yet? Brilliant.
Oh, I see people I know on there all the time, but I'm not allowed to say who they are.
Okay, fine.
So I've been watching that on live TV. So I've got a commitment to live TV going on, but I've started a new show on Netflix. And it is called Flint Town. Have you heard about this?
No.
So do you know anything about the town, the city of Flint?
Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Well, home of dude Michael Moore, the documentarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home of lead poisoning. How do you know this stuff? I know, he's weird. Lead poisoning in water.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Do you remember?
Which she's been campaigning about for years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Flint, Michigan, it used to be a very like nice, prosperous town, but then the government tried to sideways step some water taxes, and now there's lead in the water. But this series is about a little bit about the lead water poisoning, but it's about the police force in Flint because people are dying, people are getting shot all the time. If you like 24 hours, go on. Yeah.
How is the lead poisoning connected to the shootings? Are you saying they're going off their nut?
Listen, it's just a bad time. I'm
not. It's just not connected.
It's just a bad time for Flint. And so this is really like, so because of the lead poisoning, they've been abandoned by the US government, basically. And so now there's a spotlight on Flint.
Yeah.
And if you like 24 Hours in Police Custody, you will love this. It's great. But you see a lot of dead bodies. So it's all about, so it's
what's
the police.
What's it called again?
Flint Town.
Okay.
So it's a documentary series. Every episode's 45 minutes, 46, give or take. And so you
not
follow
to be
the police
the
service.
Flintstones.
No, not to be. No, it isn't the Flintstones at all, and they are nothing to do with this. Okay, this is serious
Barney
business.
Rubble.
No,
it's very serious. Sorry,
no, it's nothing to do with that. Okay, Bam Bam, Bam Bam was my favorite. Oh, look what you've done. Yes. You're back causing trouble already. This is serious business. Anyway, it follows a police service, the police force in Flint, and it is absolutely fascinating.
Oh,
it's definitely worth a watch.
I'm going to watch that.
Are you downloading that right now?
I'll say so. No,
really
I'm just
good.
Looking at it on my Netflix app.
I'm up to episode 3.
Cool.
And they've had to, one of the really good things is they brought in this new chief of police. And so he's said he's going to like clean everything up. There's like 98 serving police officers for 100,000 people in Flint.
Wow.
Which is obviously not enough.
That's ridiculous.
So he started this new police force called CAT.
CAT?
The CAT force, which is like 8
using
supreme
cats.
Officers. No, but there is an amazing bit in it where the CAT team are out and they're dealing with a situation and then a cat goes by and one of the officers goes, CAT team.
It sounds like that spoof podcast, so, A Very
really,
Fatal Murder.
It's just, it's really, no, it's really serious.
Are you sure it's serious? Are you sure it's not an elaborate spoof that you've
bought into?
This isn't
like American Graffiti or whatever else that I didn't realise was a spoof.
American Graffiti, the classic.
No, what is it called? Graffiti Vandal.
American
Vandal.
Vandal. American Graffiti Vandal.
Have I been awake all night?
Yeah, I think you're the one. Or you turned into my mum. Kind of gets the titles of everything slightly wrong.
I would love to be your mum.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, no, it's not that. It's really good.
Right, it's proper.
Yeah, it's proper.
Is that it from your little list? Anything
else? Yeah, do you want to know what I thought of Shape of Water?
Yeah, go on.
Right.
It's just swept the board.
I know.
It's won four
Oscars.
I'm just
going to say, I could not stop crying throughout Shape of Water. I thought it was the most magical, beautiful thing. Wow. But if you are going to go and watch it, please be in the right frame of mind and go in knowing that it is a fairy tale and it is beautiful and that certain things that might freak you out in it are not weird. You'll know what I mean.
So what kind of frame? Wait,
it's
so
about a mute. It's about a mute who falls in love with a sea creature.
Seems perfectly natural to me.
Things happen that I think people will be a bit like, don't know about
really?
That.
What, you mean the human sea creature interrelations? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Sexy times.
Yeah, of course.
There's some sexy times between the sea creature and the mute.
It's best picture. Well, you got to go and see it. It's best picture.
But you know, it's a bit weird when she describes how she...
Kay,
how
it's... why don't you go round to Steph's...
Cinema.
Steph's cinema, home cinema and crank it up. She'll crank it up for you and you can watch it.
Okay. Yeah,
can I
sure.
just also say, though, I finished Save Me.
Oh yeah! Wow! Yeah.
So we need to right. Okay.
We need
okay.
to do a spoiler special for Saving.
Yeah, we won't do it today, but let's do it like either next pod or the pod after because we've a lot to discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, but can I'm just gonna say now. I know you said, Boyd, on the Twitter.
Yes.
That it was the binge of the year, and that everyone would be very happy with the ending.
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Yeah, okay. Are you not?
I'm not.
Oh, I know. Here we go.
No, but I'm not. I'm really not.
There is always one.
No, I don't think I'm alone.
Okay, I think you are alone. You are alone. Who sang that?
You're
not alone.
You are not alone.
Sorry.
There's Michael Jackson.
So that's my song. You are not alone. I don't think I am alone.
Well, if you find some other mavericks who agree with you, then fine. No, it's an interesting ending. Yeah, I mean, we don't want to spoil
it. Let's discuss it in a couple of
weeks. Think we should do a spoiler special. If we were Empire, we'd get the talent in. You know, we'd get Thingy and Lenny James and the director.
Will Lenny James
and,
come?
He might do.
He's probably, I interviewed him.
Yeah, and I did the thing with him at BAFTA that I went on about, every week.
So we can reenact it. What he said to us.
Yeah, at the very least, we'll reenact. We'll do a reenactment.
Role play.
And we'll discuss. We promise now we're going to discuss it in depth, including the ending in a spoiler special,
which may
be appended onto a normal podcast.
Appended?
Appended.
Ooh.
Just making editorial decisions left, right, and centre.
Yeah, look. John's just nodding sagely.
Yeah. Kay is exhausted, as we all are.
It's Kay, really hot in here, man.
How was your holiday?
It's really good. Thanks for asking. I know we don't have time for this.
Have we got time for holiday chat?
Did you watch any TV?
I watched Save Me. I binged on 4 episodes while I was out there.
Yeah.
And finished it off when I got back. And I also read a book that I want to tell you about. So it's called...
Bookworm.
No, it's just one book. Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine.
What's it called?
Eleanor Oliphant.
Like Eleanor Oliphant. Is your favourite...
Animal, yeah.
Animal, yeah.
I know. Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. And it's by, I've forgotten her name now. Gail Honeyman, I think. I need to check that.
It's probably worth getting her name right.
If you could look that up.
You
look up the name.
Eleanor Elephant.
Oliphant. Anyway.
Eleanor Oliphant.
I know.
Well, imagine we'd say Eleanor Oliphant loves elephants.
That's the sequel.
Yeah.
So it was out last year in hardback. It was out in paperback in January, and everyone's been talking about it, so I thought, right, you know what? 9-hour flight to India, perfect time to read it.
It's written by Gail Honeyman.
Oh, Honeyman. You had it right.
Yeah, Honeyman.
There you go.
Thanks, Boyd, for confirming. Anyway, it tells the story of Eleanor Oliphant, and she is a very unusual, kind of quirky, odd character. Now, it's not really explicitly spoken about, but you assume that she's on the spectrum. A bit like, you know, the Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, where it's like
book.
Alluded to. Mm. And she has the same, she's very like, she loves order. She doesn't ever change her, you know, routine. She's been in the same job for years and years and years, just a office manager role. All her colleagues think she's a bit of an oddball. You know, it's one of those situations, we all know that kind of Eleanor Oliphant character that people are like, oh, she's a bit weird.
Is it me?
It's you.
Yeah, she's looking in her eye, we all know there's one in the room right now.
Steph Land is completely fine.
She's wearing a blue jumper.
And so every Friday she eats the same meal from like Tesco soup, like pizza.
Really is me.
Difference is at the weekend she doesn't talk to anyone, but she just does like the crossword. She has a similar routine and drinks 2 bottles of vodka. Now, are you drinking 2 bottles of vodka?
Not vodka, but I do love it when I don't speak to anyone all weekend.
Stephanie Seeland is completely fine.
Yeah.
Mm. A sequel.
We don't drink the vodka.
Okay, so she drinks.
She's in her little, you know, her own little world, and it's quite sad and heartbreaking. But then something happens where she is forced to move out of her comfort zone, and she makes a friend, and it's just so beautiful. It's a really beautiful story about how that like moves her to like break out of this like cycle she's got into. She confronts
a short bald man who hosts podcasts and writes about TV and films for a living.
Yeah,
you
changed her world, Boyd.
You
basically rocked Eleanor's world.
Yeah.
And she like confronts traumatic things that happened in her and her childhood, but it's honestly just, it's so well written and beautifully told, and like obviously it's very like, you know, it's quite emotional, heartbreaking in parts, but overall it's really funny. She's a really funny character. So I'm really hoping that actually genuinely there is a sequel, because she's a really great literary
figure. Boyd and I are nodding at each other as if we might read this book.
You should read it. It's 5 stars. I mean, there's a plot twist.
Together.
There's a plot twist at the end that I don't think is necessary,
Ooh.
But...
Ooh.
Overall, okay. I would highly recommend it. Of all the novels I've reviewed on the pod, this is the one to read.
And there have been, I mean, many.
There have been four.
At least four.
And you've listened to each and every one of them, and I thank you for sharing.
I think
that
this
courtesy.
Book is going to rocket to the top of the Amazon charts now.
It will do.
Richard and Judy style.
Yeah. Something else I want to talk about. Right, Save Me, we're going to leave. But I've started watching the second series of Divorce. Now, is anyone watching that?
Oh, is that on now? Oh, yes. I love Divorce. I love that first series. So is it? Are they all available?
No.
No.
It's on a weekly basis.
They're doing it the proper way, Steph.
Proper way. Tuesday nights.
Proper
on tonight
way.
On the Sky Atlantic / Now TV.
Yeah, so
I saw
I've
the first one.
Episode
yeah.
one, yeah.
Yeah, same, yeah.
So at the end of this first series, I was a bit, like, I really enjoyed it, but then I was getting a bit like, oh, it's too slow. Like, you know, because hardly anything happens per episode, and we're quite used to watching things that are, like, action-packed. So I kind of had lost a bit of interest, but the first episode, second series, is great, and it's like the divorces come through.
Oh, has it?
Yes.
Oh, no, I thought they were not going to do
it. No, it has come through.
Yeah. Oh. They're divorcing.
But
it's called Divorce.
Boys, they're marriage counsellor.
No, but I thought they wouldn't get to that point.
No,
they had a little kiss, didn't they?
Yeah.
No, but they've got to that point now, and it's all the fallout of that, and Sharon Horgan's brilliant.
So this is Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Thomas Hayden Church as Robert, the husband and wife, been married for 10 years. Boyd's lifting his arm as if he wants to say something.
I'm trying not to interrupt. I'm waiting for you to finish.
Try harder.
Small point to make.
Go on then.
My favourite character is Tracy Letts. You know Tracy Letts, the playwright? Well, and he's the their friends. He's the other dude.
Oh, the big house.
The
yes.
guy.
Yeah. He's brilliant.
And the wife.
Yes.
Yes.
So good.
They are very good.
So good. And of course, he's in Lady Bird as the dad.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, is that him?
Tracy Letts is a legend. Absolute legend.
Oh, he's a legend.
Yeah.
He sort of plays a... Really
I didn't recognise him.
Yeah, a weirdly similar character, but like a...
Yeah,
you know, economically challenged one.
Correct. Yeah. No, he's a genius. Yeah. Well, you know, I use the word. I throw the word around.
I think that's a bit of a throw around, boy.
A bit of a throw around.
He's a good person.
Yeah, but he's written lots of great plays as well. Pulitzer Prize winning playwright.
Maybe he is a genius.
He is. Yeah. Osage County. You wrote that play. August Osage County.
Did he? That was turned into a film with Julia Roberts.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't really like that much. Yeah.
He didn't like
it. Wasn't great.
He didn't like his own.
He's kind
very
of slightly.
Good, that film.
He's on the Marc Maron podcast. And he's kind of. You can tell he's not entirely happy with that film. Yeah. I mean, no, people.
It's a brilliant
generally.
Film.
It's an amazing play though. The play itself. I saw the play on Broadway. It's absolutely incredible. And the film was a bit kind of stodgy. Using that word.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen the play.
No,
so.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Tracy Letts in. But Divorce. I thought the same. I thought this first episode, and they've got a new showrunner. Who I think is friends with SJP from Sex and the City.
How hands-on is Sharon Horgan?
Not that hands-on. I think she's still kind of producing it, but not... She was writing Motherland, you know, while they were making it. So I think she's still involved.
She is the queen of mining, like, finding things that people don't usually want to talk about, like, you know, the horrendousness of motherhood or how stressful it is or, like, you know, having a fling and then ending up pregnant and mining all that awkward, excruciating detail.
Yeah, but I think they made the decision to make this one slightly lighter. And not in still dealing with divorce and the fallout.
The first episode didn't feel that light.
Light is maybe the wrong word. I get maybe slightly less intense. You know what I mean? More comedic, maybe slightly less dramatic, more comedic. I don't know, that kind of thing.
Kay does not agree.
Maybe Robert plays for a few laughs, actually.
Yeah.
That character, the dad.
Anything else you want to mention?
No, I think I'm done. What have you been watching other than Oscars?
My life's been dominated.
Not the back of your eyes, that's for sure.
Watching the back of my eyes.
Eyelid.
Sleeping. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Clever.
Brackets, sleeping.
Well, I mean, of course, you two, being like two of my greatest
friends.
Work colleagues. And
I thought you'd say fans, and I was going to absolutely go mental.
Steady. Would have obviously stayed up to watch me being a
I've got you recorded. I'm going to watch you as soon as I go home.
Okay. I see enough of you during the work hours of 9:30 to 6, so I'm happy.
No, I have got you recorded. I will be watching you.
All four,
just give me the highlights now.
What were you wearing? I'll be watching all 4.5 hours, and if you've done an extra bit, I'll be watching that as well.
What I was going to say was that... The show itself, I don't mean the show that I was part of, host of Alex Zane.
The superior
with Sanjeev
show.
Pascal. Yeah. We were just commenting during the American ad breaks, effectively. But in the actual show itself, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, I thought was brilliant. It's considering there were no surprises. So, and my Oscar look back is there were no surprises whatsoever. Literally.
Hold on a minute. You didn't say Shape of Water was going to win.
No, I wanted Get Out to win. And I thought that it was between Three Billboards and Shape of Water. I didn't say that. Pretty much.
Yeah, but
I
mean, still between two things. You didn't.
If only we had this recorded on podcast.
I'm going to go through with a fine tooth comb.
I hoped and prayed that Get Out would win, which as I said last night when I was punditing live. But it was always between kind of the favourites were The Shape of Water and Three Billboards. Mm. And Shape of Water ended up being the favourite to win. And pretty much in every single category, more or less the obvious favourite won.
But
there was a few interesting... Like Get Out winning Best Screenplay was brilliant because that was a really open category. Could have Three Billboards, could have won that.
Don't you wish Laurie Metcalf had won...
So Alison Janney.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm surprised.
I don't
that.
Think Alison Janney. No, should I don't.
Kay mentioned that this morning, funnily enough. Yeah, and I said, well, in the betting, Alison Janney won every single award in the build-up to this. You know, the SAG Awards or the this, that, and the other awards.
But you made a really good point last week about actually how her. It's not a big performance. It's not a huge performance that she gives.
No,
who Alison Janney?
Yeah.
No, it's
you
not.
Mean Laurie Metcalf?
No, oh, you Alison said Janney? That about Alison Janney right. last week.
She does the
it
same
was
thing.
It's one note. It's very one note.
Yeah. But I still think, she was definitely going to win in terms of all the other awards were dominated by her. So it seemed inevitable.
I think Laurie and Metcalf.
I love her. I mean, I absolutely love Janney.
And yeah,
I love
Metcalf.
Oh, CJ is like
CJ. Yeah.
The absolute legend.
Yeah. So there weren't many, considering there weren't hardly any surprises. You know, pretty much everything you thought was going to win did win. There was a good, nice spread. You know, the Shape of Water won the big, won Best Picture and Best Director, but Dunkirk won a lot of technical awards. Mm.
Sound mixing or something.
Three or four sound editing. To the sounds editing.
It did have good sounds in it.
Yeah,
it did. And so did like Phantom Thread and like.
Did
Baby Driver won costume?
No, but did our friend win? I mean, he's not our friend.
Who?
For the music.
No, music.
What?
No, I know. Alexandre Desplat won. How you pronounce Alexandre Desplat? Desplat? Desplat?
No, Desplat. Desplat. I love
for
that.
For the Shape of Water won.
Again?
Yeah, again. They love him. They absolutely love him.
Why?
Because he is very like...
Because his name's Desplat?
Yeah, his name's Desplat. Yeah, that's why. And I was going to say... Call Me By Your Name won Best Adapted Screenplay. So there was like all
who
the great
best
films.
Director?
Guillermo del Toro, who's massive cult firm favourite to win.
I was going to lose it if Greta Gerwig didn't win.
No,
and
she didn't.
Go on.
I'm sorry.
Frankly.
Upturn this table. Go on, smash up the mics.
Apologies. So in summary, all of the obvious things won that were expected to win pretty much. I was disappointed that Get Out, I thought, stood a little chance of winning Best Picture. It didn't. But so this is an incredible thing. Despite it being incredibly predictable, the show itself was still brilliant. Jimmy Kimmel, the way he dealt with the whole, you know, Harvey Weinstein, post-Harvey Weinstein was brilliant. Time's up. He told a joke about Harvey Weinstein, named him. He told jokes about Kevin Spacey. He, like, named these people. So it was bold and brave jokes that actually went down really well.
Yeah.
And it was just a really kind of fun, despite the kind of, you know, people, like Piers Morgan in advance was going on about, oh, they were going to be earnest and being political. But actually...
Piss off, Piers.
Well, exactly.
P.O.P. What do you call him?
Piss off
Gammon.
Gammon.
He looks like a walking, talking gammon.
He was saying it's going to be really boring that all these people are, you know, getting on their high horses. But actually, it made it really interesting.
Since when did we listen to Piers?
I know, of course. So those bits were really great. There was a fun bit. Do you know about the bit where Jimmy Kimmel took them from the... There was a cinema that was showing a preview of a film on the other side of the road in Hollywood.
They went in.
And they went in. And that was kind of fun and really and interesting. It was just a really... showed you a live 4-hour... Mm. It was 4 hours. Live award show can be brilliantly entertaining. And it's a message to the BAFTAs. You've got to show this... The BAFTA Awards live. You've got to do it live and let people do stuff that's unpredictable. Frances McDormand's speech where she got all the women to stand up.
Oh, yeah.
Was such an authentic, off-the-cuff moment. It was brilliant. And you never get that kind of thing at the BAFTAs because it's all a bit, you know...
Why are you slagging the BAFTAs?
I'm not slagging the BAFTAs off. I love the BAFTAs. I love an award show.
But as Kay and I have always said, I mean... Anyone can get a BAFTA. We said it before.
You know that, boy.
It's not strictly true. I just think it's got to be live. Live and unpredictable and a funny person hosting it. Okay. I've said my piece.
I like Joe Lum doing it. Anyway, something I was completely surprised about this morning when I was looking at all the Oscars news. So Rachel Shenton.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Right now, Rachel Shenton, folks, used to be in Hollyoaks.
Yes.
And the reason
that
why
show no one watches.
Yeah. And the reason why I bring it up is because our former editor, Jeremy Mark and Lucy Kavar, she's basically the queen of Heat Towers, once wrote an episode of Hollyoaks dedicated to Rachel Shenton's character of Mitzi in Hollyoaks. And now she's getting an Oscar.
So in some ways it means we've got an Oscar.
Yeah, you and me have basically won an Oscar.
Yeah, well done.
So just to
and the bloke, the two of them who are partners in real life.
Yeah, Chris Overton.
He was in Hollyoaks as well, and they.
He was in Hollyoaks.
How did they scrape their way out of Hollyoaks to become?
They came up with this idea. They won Best Live Action Short, which is about this girl.
It's a silent child.
Yeah, it's got a girl who can't hear, and it's all about how people born deaf deal with it. And it's apparently
and
really
she
moving.
She signed her acceptance speech.
She signed her acceptance speech. Yeah, it was an incredible triumph. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the favourite to win Best Live Action Short, believe it or not. Some other American. It was a British, proper British triumph, yeah, for Hollyoaks.
I cannot believe that. And also,
damn Rachel. She's not still in Hollyoaks, is she?
No, of course not. No. Also, the other soap link, obviously, that Gary Oldman's sister.
Of course. Of
Big
course.
Mo from EastEnders.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Big yeah.
So, you know, all the soap connections.
Who knew?
Yeah. So. Right. Let us move on to some meat.
Hold on a minute.
What?
Hey, Kay, whilst you were off, I don't know whether you listened. I mean, I'm sure you did. We did not do any reviews news, but I did ask very nicely people to do it, so I didn't get in trouble with you.
Well, Steph, it's time for
reviews news
now. Boy,
can you shuffle those papers a little bit louder? Thanks.
Oh, I like doing that because I feel like Maura Stewart.
You are.
Right, guys. I don't know what the hell you two have been up to. Uh-oh. When I've been away, because I set you the goal of getting 70 reviews before I got back from India. Yeah, I did. Okay. I said that. Oh. And you agreed. It was a verbal agreement.
Yep. But wasn't that... Wouldn't we only need to get two more?
You only needed to get two. Okay. Not a lot to ask.
No.
And you got three. Yes, you got 71 reviews.
Boy, did you hear that?
You guys are amazing.
No, that's incredible.
What were you doing?
I did hear it. No, it's incredible. And when I say no, I didn't hear it. I did hear it, and it's incredible.
Were you paying people or what? This is amazing.
No, yeah, we did pay people.
Oh, no, do you know what this means? I've got to retire the Oscar ting.
Ting. I will find a new thing you can do.
There's probably still some films coming out that haven't come out yet.
Say the word Oscar, see if it still works.
I think it could be eligible for an Oscar.
Ding! It does still work.
Yeah. Okay.
My new sound's going to be bong.
In the meantime, let's invest that energy into the reviews and the fact that we've got 71. So we've just got 29 now to get by the end of April, our birthday.
That is so doable.
It's
what
totally
are we
doable.
Do for our birthday? We have party.
Only if we get 100 reviews. Otherwise, there'll be no celebrations. And possibly no pod. But anyway, let me tell you about the reviews we got.
Right. What do they say? No, I don't want to hear any nasty ones.
Oh, okay. Should we move on to the meat?
No, you're kidding.
Okay, we had Mark Spark, great name, 777. And he said in the subject heading, a gem. And he actually used a gem to illustrate. So I got to give you
like
a little
an
bit
emoji.
Credit for that. Yeah, emoji. And
that's
he
our
said,
first emoji review.
We're a fab combo, always entertaining and funny. Whisper it quietly, they might even be giving the good doctors a run for their money in my podcast affections. Now, I don't know, is that a good thing?
Oh, the good doctor. Oh, it was
what?
Entertainment.
What?
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. That's
oh
incredible.
My
that's
God.
The ultimate.
Oh my God, get Mark Spark in. We need to meet this
that
man.
Is the
wow.
Compliment.
This crazy
is
guy.
That the
come on.
Compliment?
Yeah,
oh my God, and he used an emoji.
And he used a gem emoji.
Yeah, that's good. That's
Mark,
big.
You've now elevated yourself to super pog status.
Well done.
Right, Indie 100. She said great fun, and she says she enjoys the bands between the three of us. And she says, this is. You know someone who's really listening.
Yeah.
Hope you get the 100 five-star reviews soon, guys. Oh. See? This, like, brainwashing is
she
working.
She means it. She means it.
And she's
thank
also
you.
Just finished watching Derry Girls, which she enjoyed greatly.
Oh, we love Derry Girls.
And finally, Shell 9562, intriguing number.
What numbers on these names? Carry
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, Boyd, actually, she's only started listening to this podcast because she... Oh, God.
Oh,
it's like kryptonite to me. It's
not another
like
one.
Kryptonite.
Not another one.
Another fan.
I love Boyd's reviews in
oh,
here.
Oh,
yeah, whatever.
Do.
Anyway, she said the podcast is better than she thought.
Brilliant.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, it's not what she expected. She said it's true reviewing at its best. The discussion, disagreements, name dropping are brilliant. It feels like I'm in the studio with you. Completely superb. And then she said, sorry for going on. And I want to say to her, don't be sorry,
don't
Shell.
Don't you apologise.
That review is shorter than our bloody podcast.
She says she loves the name dropping. I mean, that's, you know.
I love, I think I that is our new, you know, our strapline before was not highbrow.
Yeah.
Now I think it should be better than you
better
thought.
Than you thought. It's on the poster. Yeah. It's on the poster.
Better than you thought.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Five stars.
Yeah. I mean, not great, but better than I thought.
Better than you thought.
Not completely shit. Anyway, let's move on to the meat.
Was that
Come
it
on.
For reviews news?
That was it for reviews
good,
news.
Good.
So, sorry, just to clarify, how many more do we need?
29. By the end of April, we've got 2 months. It's a big push now, guys. Come on.
Our producer, guru, friend, John, was shaking his head. And he was telling us the time. Which means we've got
time to get
more
reviews.
You're going to some emergency meeting or something.
I am going to need
more
to leave in 40 minutes.
More illegal screenings in her from
no
home.
No doubt. Right. Meet. Number one. BTS. Below the Surface. BBC4. This Saturday. Starting with a double bill. It's the new... It's in the slot. It's the famous slot where
it's,
you have foreign Scandinavian often. This is Scandinavian,
it's,
is it not?
It's Scandi that you have to read.
I'm
Scandi
looking at you.
TV
it's
that you need to
because
read.
We all have to hurry up and leave soon because of you. I'm going to get you to describe this vaguely complicated
I'm
going to
take
story.
It because I like a foreign drama, don't you?
Yeah.
Kay's stepping in.
Yeah.
No,
step
thanks,
in.
Kay.
Know your audience. Right, so opening scenes, a bit scary because this character called Philip is being interrogated and tortured by a terrorist. He's having a bad day.
Scary.
It's what it is. He's having a bad day. And you don't know what's... You think, is he going to escape? Flash forward to an event in Copenhagen where a commuter train has been captured by terrorists. Mm. 15 civilians have just been taken, held ransom.
I'm reacting as if I haven't seen
it. I know. Steph, why are you acting so shocked? Ooh. And Philip, who you thought might not have escaped, who's deeply traumatized, he was part of the army when he was captured. It now leads the terror task force, and he's called in to assess the situation and to help out, because obviously the government needs to know what to do, what do they want. Turns out they want millions of, they want a lot of money.
Millions, I think.
Is it millions? I don't know.
Krona.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What is the exchange rate, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, right, we need to work that out. Okay, well, a lot of money. But they're obviously reluctant to give it. So Philip needs to negotiate with the terrorists. It's all high octane, very stressful. Also, another strand is that he's just finished in a relationship with, what's her chops? I've got a name written down.
Louise, isn't she?
Louise, yeah. And they broke up because he was having nightmares in the night about his experience when he was tortured. Won't talk about it. Mm. Typical.
Yeah.
And they've split up, but they work together in the terror task force. So now it's all a bit awkward.
Yeah, Louise Falk, played by Sara Hjort Ditlevsen.
Yeah.
And Philip is played by Johannes Lassen. And the only reason I'm listing the cast names is because my favourite cast member is the reporter, Naya Toft, she ends up being like the go-between.
Oh, she's amazing.
Amazing. She's played by Paprika Steen.
How fantastic. Yeah. Paprika.
So the Paprika Steen. go on.
She's written it. She enters it. She's written a book.
Yeah.
And she's having some sexy times with a guy in it.
Yeah. And she's a news anchor. And she's in the midst of complaining about the fact that, they never have any new news. They're always following up on stories. And then lo and behold, the terrorists get in touch and they go, look, we want you to kind of broadcast an interview with one of the captives and interview them. And she's,
captives?
Yeah,
Are you actually Swedish? Is she Swedish? Is that what you're going
to
say?
Well, what I was going to say is when I watched this, I started to think that I spoke Swedish because I could believe that I understood them. Because every so often they say a word but in English. Then I start to think, I can understand.
There's quite a lot of English because the terrorists weirdly speak English. But I guess one thing we found out from this series is that English is the universal language of terrorism.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Don't you think that Philip looks like Jensen Button?
Yes, I do think
that. Yeah.
And when the scenes, because I did find the first scene quite like
the torture.
Yeah, it was horrible. I know that happens a lot throughout because there's flashbacks to it, and I was a bit like, oh god. And he had a beard. Then you remove the beard, and I was like, hello, Jensen Button.
Oh, you fancy it? You fancy?
I think this has got a whiff of Homeland about it, though, don't you? I think Johannes is going to be a wrong one.
No.
Did you not think
I've got the same theory.
Because how did he get out of it?
I agree.
How did he get out of
it? He might have just been polite to the terrorists.
Can we just make it, we're not spoiling it, because have you only seen episode one?
Yeah,
it starts with a double bill, but I agree. I had the same thought.
Did you think? Because I've watched the second episode.
You've watched the second? This doesn't happen necessarily in the second.
I'm not telling you.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
I'm not a spoiler queen.
Because they keep showing the flashbacks to the torture.
Yeah.
And you're not sure how he got out. And I'm thinking he's done some kind of deal. Yeah. And I think he's going to be involved in this plot, this two.
To get money.
To get the train, to get the hostages, I do.
Think he's a rock.
I mean, maybe I may be
wrong.
Do
you know what he is? He's only a Danish nasty bastard. That's what he is.
DNB.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, also, the other device, just to say, is that this is set over 8 days and each episode is one day.
Yes.
Which I quite like that as a device.
Good device.
Yeah.
And it is also... Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, and you're meeting all the hostages, so I'm hoping that you get all of their backstory.
Yeah.
Is this just a random train?
Yeah, seemingly so. Isn't this by the people behind The Killing and Borgen? Which I absolutely love Borgen.
Søren Sveistrup of The Killing and Adam Price, of Borgen, joined forces with Mette Louise Foldaga Sorensen of the brilliant film A Royal Affair, who all produced it. And it's created by Kasper Burfert of Dicta, Those Who Killed in Summer of 92 fame.
Mm. Right up my
That's
street.
That's enough names. I very much enjoyed it. I think stylishly filmed. All these things now, aren't they? All of these things that are on... Walter Presents on the Channel 4 thing for subtitle programmes, all the BBC 4 ones pretty much.
All the Scandi dramas.
All the Scandi influence ones that we get, like Marcella.
Just finished Modus. Did you watch Modus? Yeah. Modus is good.
Yeah. Oh, is that worth Modus?
There's ones on Netflix as well. They're all beautifully filmed now, but I thought this was in the upper end of, I'm compelled, I want to know what happens in the end. Yeah. No,
it's not up there with the tunnel for me, but it's still
we love the tunnel,
but I still want to. I'm going to watch the next.
Definitely going to watch the next. Yeah, you're going to watch the next. Too busy watching Netflix?
Probably not. I don't think I'm going to watch
it. So always the harsh reality is whether Steph's going to watch it.
I mean, it takes a lot. But you know, oh God, it's just, yeah, it takes a lot for me to watch something that I have to read.
Oh, it's the reading, yeah. She's a lazy reader.
It was okay, but I'd be just happy if I didn't have to see it again. You know, it'd be fine.
Charming. You're not even going to find out whether Philip is wrong or not.
I think he is a wrong one. I'm making up my own.
You don't know.
He looks like, how did he get out otherwise? If someone could tell me that,
people
be great.
Do get out.
People no, get because out. The whole monologue at the beginning is like, what would you do if I opened the door now? And then he says, I would do this and I would hurt
classic
you.
Classic game
then
of
I would
cat and mouse.
Out.
Like your
he
team,
got
the cat
out,
team.
He made a deal.
We don't know that.
Classic Homeland.
We don't know.
Next week,
what
we're
we
talk
do
about want to
know, though, is what would you give it out of 5?
Well, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it.
You're
I don't
like,
know what
like
happened.
Jamaican or something? Is that what you did?
I hope not.
It was
like
a terrible
dodgy,
impression.
Yeah. That's like Jesse
like,
Nelson from Little
Mix. It was
Little
like a bit of Italian.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm going to give it.
Okay, that's better.
That's a terrible Italian. 3.5 stars.
I'm giving your accent 2 stars.
Well, that's
I'm giving this 4 stars.
Yeah, I'm giving it 4.
Okay.
It's a 4. That is Below the Surface, the new BBC Four Saturday night foreign language drama starting this Saturday at 9 o'clock with a double bill. Let us move on to the fluff. This is like fluffiest of the fluff. This is so much fluff, I can't see how you can get the fluff out of the fluff.
No, no.
Let's defluff the fluff.
No, you can't.
I single-handedly refuse to explain what this is.
I'll do it.
It's 5-star hotel. It's going to be stripped across the week, isn't it? From next Monday, the 12th of March, on the E4 at 10 o'clock. So if you, it's like that. I mean, I'm no expert, but it feels to me like their attempt to do something a bit like Love Island.
Am I right or am I wrong? Hold on, I'm going to explain it.
You explain it.
Right, imagine this, right? You decide to go on a lovely holiday to Greece, You book a really nice hotel, a 5-star hotel, no less.
Imagine this, Boyd, right? It's you and me going on holiday.
And you walk in and you are greeted by receptionist Spencer Matthews and bellboy Joey Essex, and you find out that in the evening, your entertainment is going to be dealt with by some doofette from Geordie Shore.
Is it Holly Hagen?
It's Holly Hagen and some...
Ashley Kane.
And
who is healthy.
Ashley Kane.
Very healthy.
And then I have to say this, it takes a lot for the shining light to be having your breakfast served by Lydia Bright, okay? That is the hell that
the shining light of Lydia Bright.
5-star hotel, this brand new series where it's set on a Greek island where these doofets and doofuses have taken over a hotel and they are being rated to ask how good their services is, and if they get a bad review they're going to be booted off the island. But they do apparently
like
have to work
like kind of live action TripAdvisor.
But what do they win?
They don't win anything.
With shows like Love Island, you win obviously the love of your life and you win earn a shitload of cash. But what are they getting?
Winning the acclaim of the viewer.
Hold on, this is a quote from the show. They call me Champagne Kane.
Yep.
I know how to get all the girls wet.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a show that anyone
that
needs
makes
in
me
their
wanna,
life?
That no. makes me want to bathe in bleach.
I think we can dispense with this fairly quickly. all I'd say is, for me, it all fell down when I watched Joey Essex telling everyone that he's an idiot. Like, he's kind of ramming the point, as if we didn't already know that Joey Essex's whole... You know, raison d'être.
I am an idiot.
It's then they're going, oh, right, we know you're an idiot. And then he has to pretend to be an idiot. It's all so contrived. I don't believe a word of it.
Why is Spencer Matthews doing it? Because doesn't his family own Eden Rock? Like that gorgeous.
He wants to be on TV. It's his career is being on TV, isn't it?
What has happened to Spencer Matthews? He's just become so disappointingly dull. You know, at least before when he's on Made in Chelsea, he used to be like a bit of a play, had something about him. He's just so like dull and smug now.
The whole thing was dull, wasn't it, for a reality show?
I thought Joey Essex was a bit of a like entertainment factor. I know what you're saying about him, but at least he was a lovable doofus, brought a bit of humour to it, as opposed to Ashley Kane.
It's no Love Island, is it?
It's no, God no.
It's not enough. It's like they thought, I know, we'll get all these reality TV stars from different shows, like kind of like, you know, bring them all together and shove them in a hotel, it'll be fine. But
to
it's
what
not
end?
Fine.
What is the
what
point
end?
Of it?
Why? There's no
that's
end.
That's what I said. But I will give him props for having a...
Will you?
The narrator isn't an Ian Sterling, but he is
The narrator
is funny.
Is good. Who's the narrator? He's taking the piss.
I'm not sure, I don't know what his name is, but he's obviously trying to do the Ian Sterling thing, you know, very sarcastic.
Of Love Island fame.
Yes, of Love Island fame, but he is... very sarcastic and rightfully takes the piss out of the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm never going to watch it ever again. And I'm giving it 2 stars.
Yeah, Steph? I'm giving it 2 stars.
Oh, 1.5.
Okay. Oh, okay. Generous.
The man says, "I'm Champagne Kane. I know how to get all the girls." I mean, that's
if you
want to
see Champagne Kane,
we don't.
With his
stay away from him. If you see him in the street as well, just stay away from him.
With his 5-star hotel, Chums. It starts next Monday on E4 at 10 o'clock. Finally, possibly one of the greatest contrasts in the history of this very podcast, Annihilation. Coming to Netflix on a Tuesday, unusually, because most Netflix things always drop on a Friday. But no, they've got so much content these days, it has to drop next Tuesday.
John Dan, why are you shaking your head? Did you watch it? No, you didn't watch it.
John Dan, I think, wants to see it.
He wants to see it.
We're going to try not to spoil
also,
it.
Also, boy, do you know it's not a drop? It's a plonk.
It's plonking. Sorry.
God, it's like from Oscars is really messed with me.
From a visionary, it says here, writer-director Alex Garland of Ex Machina and 28 Days Later fame. It's based on the best-selling novel, the first in the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Van Der Meer. Why are you laughing at?
Because it all sounds so crap.
Steady. And it's a female-driven science fiction epic.
We like that.
With Natalie Portman. And I'm going to try and explain the story very quickly. She is a biologist, a specialist in cellular biology, she explains in the kind of one of the very early scenes. She's a former soldier. She's married to Oscar Isaac. He's been away, missing for about a year on a mission to uncover what's happening in a place called Area X, which is this sinister place where, in America, on the coastline, where there's this kind of weird shimmering
effect. They're trying to get the
effect.
Shimmer, aren't
they? Shimmer. And something is kind of, is it alien? Is it whatever? Is it extraterrestrial?
What's a miasma? What's the
Is it a miasma? This part of America is being almost like swallowed up or changed somehow. And
it's all originated from a lighthouse.
From a lighthouse, yeah. This thing arrives on the lighthouse. You see that in the first scene, you're right, yeah. So he comes back from this having disappeared for about a year, and he's all changed, he's all weird and can't remember, and we don't know what's going on. Then he gets taken ill, and on the way to him being taken ill, she gets thrust into this special place where Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's a kind of military psychologist, tells her that she has to join the mission to investigate this shimmering place to try and find out why everyone who goes in there never comes back.
Yeah,
or dies.
When you describe it like that, it sounds absolutely bonkers. She gets taken to the shimmering place.
It does sound bonkers.
It is bonkers, isn't it?
Is it bonkers?
I think, right, I'm going to give you my tuppennyworth.
Please
from the start.
Please do.
I effing love this thing.
Oh, God.
I think it's absolutely incredible to see. It's
really
intelligent. It's visually stunning.
I'll give you that.
Stanley Kubrick will be proud of it. So a lot of it, particularly the ending, without wanting to give too much away, gives very 2001.
Wait, you've watched all of it?
It's trippy. Of course. Hold on. Okay, if you were reviewing a thing, you have to watch all of it.
We didn't watch all of this film.
Oh my God.
What did you get to?
Oh my God.
Tell us how much you watched.
It's a scandal.
I think I did watch it all
then. It's a scandal. Anyway, so
what happened in the end?
We're not going to tell people.
I'm not
going to
tell you, but it goes into this. She goes deep and deeper exploring this world. But anyway, I thought there was an incredibly unpredictable, amazing bits with this like creature horror element to it.
I liked those bits a lot.
Which are scary.
A lot of it was kind of, freakishly, monstrously beautiful bits where there's parts where the kind of the organisms are growing around things.
Oh, there's one scene where there's some surgery going on.
Yeah, and things are growing inside people and outside of people.
And you're not sure whether it's really happening. It might be happening in their heads, like communally almost, that they're seeing the same things, but you still
think it might be.
Oh, well, I think there's a suggestion of that.
Is there?
It's altering their psyche, or you're not sure what's happening. There's something happening on a cellular level, which is partly why Natalie Portman's character is in there.
It's dividing.
And it's also being told in flash. She's being interrogated by Benedict Wong, the great Benedict Wong from Doctor Strange and others, and explaining how she's come back and the others haven't. And it is mind-bending, beautiful, scary. I loved it. Clearly, you're looking at me like I'm mad.
No,
that's Kay, by the way. It's Steph.
Am I mad?
I'm also looking at him like that. It's not for moi, for a start, but also, I mean, I can appreciate
that's a slam down.
It's a slam
down. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. I don't know my own strengths.
It's an all right,
Natalie Portman was great, and it was visually very stunning. I can totally appreciate that. And Doodah, what's her name?
And Doodah?
Jennifer Jason Leigh was really good.
So, however, what's your problem?
My main problem
is...
What's your problem?
I don't want to be aggressive, but...
My main problem is that I couldn't give a fig what that husband's got.
Oscar Isaac's been away for a year, Kay. He's reappeared from nowhere, and you don't care what happens to him.
I don't care what the thing is.
You weren't interested in the miasmic thing?
No.
In the shimmering thing?
I had zero
thing.
Interest in that.
Oh. Steph, didn't you have an interest?
Didn't you care about the polar bear slash grizzly bear slash shark zebra creature
thing, yeah,
or the crocodile, the weird slash shark slash something.
Stop saying
creature.
Slash,
I feel like I haven't seen it all. I'm going to be honest.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
Are you
real? Okay, I'm going to.
You watched it on the Netflix website.
I watched it.
Did it blow up halfway through and you didn't realize?
Some things happened.
How long was the version you watched?
That's why I got so confused.
She's feeling the shimmer.
Yeah. This is the only explanation. Oh my God. Have you had a cellular change?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's what's happened.
We're going to have
to
examine
your blood. Are you a warped shimmer version of the real Kate?
My mind's been so far bent. No, honestly, I don't know what's happened. But I don't think... That's why I said, it's a combination of, I think something's happened with the screen I was watching plus jet lag equals I haven't seen it all, I don't think.
Steph,
but
let's limit this review. Let's only allow the reviews of people who've watched the whole effing thing.
I have watched the whole effing thing. Now, as I said, I think that I was very impressed with... I thought I saw some incredibly original scenes,
yes,
which I always very much enjoy. Without talking about the ending, I actually really did like the ending. I find it weird that this is a choice for Natalie Portman, but I love that this is kind of a...
Why?
I don't know.
Natalie Star Wars prequel trilogy Portman.
I just still think it's an odd choice for her. I don't know why.
I think it's a totally logical choice. What I like about it is it's a completely female unit that's going into investigate.
That's what I was
going
to say. That's the thing that I love. I really love it. No, no, no.
It's not a female-driven thing.
It's not made a thing, which is my favourite thing about it. It's not made a thing that they don't make a thing of it. Oh, it's all girls going. Don't make a thing of that at all, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I did like the interplay between those characters. I thought I love anything with Jennifer Jason Leigh in. Now, would I watch it again? No. But did I appreciate the originality of it? Yes, and I think people will really like it.
I like that in self-interview. That was good.
Yeah. My advice, watch the whole thing.
Yes, Kay. I think that's a given. That's just a given. Can I just say, every meaty thing we review, watch the whole thing.
I always watch everything, Boyd. I had some technical hitch.
Okay. I'm sorry. Annihilation, I think it's one of the best Netflix original films they've done. I mean, it came out in cinemas in America and did quite well. I think Alex Garland's great. I think it's a really well-told, really beautifully filmed and directed thing. I'm giving it 5 whole stars.
Oh, well, yes. Come on.
No, it's great. What's not to love? How many stars are you giving it? Bearing in mind, Kate's not allowed a star rating.
Well, no, I'm giving it for what I've seen. I'll give it 3.
But we're ignoring it.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
3, 4, 5.
I think
5.
People will like it. It's original.
Apologia needed for whatever happened to Kay's screener.
Yeah.
Annihilation, anyway, is arriving on Netflix next Tuesday, the 12th of March. Watch it.
Oh, Boyd. You're very aggressive.
So forceful.
You need to sleep.
It was a bit Alan
sleep.
Partridge.
It was Partridge. Bit.
Finally, we've got, I think, 8 minutes?
Yeah, eight minutes.
And 8 minutes for that time.
Question time. Boyd, you said you didn't have a question. What is a question?
I've got a question. No, it's a two-pronger. Either, for those of us who stayed up till 5 in the morning watching the Oscars, what's your favourite moment of this year's Oscars? Mm, or what's your favourite Oscars moment of all time? Easy.
Oh, I think... Sorry, can I answer?
Yeah.
All right.
Never apologise.
Of recent years, I have to say, I liked it when Ellen hosted the Oscars and she did the Oscars selfie.
Yeah, that was good.
I think that is my favourite bit.
Yeah, it's a brilliant
bit. Because I lived in America when that happened and I watched it in normal time and I was very, very pleased. Yeah.
That's always cool when you can watch it the actual time.
At the actual time, yeah.
No, that's a good choice. And it came second. So Sky did a poll while we were doing the show last night.
Oh,
and that came
they?
Second only to Envelope Gate.
That would be my pick.
Yeah.
Although I was going to just change the question to my liking. And I was going to say, who's your favourite Oscar? And I was going to name my Uncle Oscar, number one, and number two, Oscar the Grouch. So
not even Oscar Isaac from Annihilation.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. Oscar Isaac's good. What about Oscar Wilde?
Further down the list.
Oscar Wilde.
Mm. Wow, harsh. Wow.
Can't put Oscar Wilde above Oscar Grouch. Oscar the Grouch.
Is he the one who lives in a bin? He's green.
He's a good Oscar.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
You could have had De La Renta.
A third prong to the Oscar question. Yeah. Question
it's now a trident.
Your favourite Oscar, yeah. Mm. My favourite Oscar moments, I mean, I'm going to do two. I'm sticking with Woody Allen, you see. So after 9/11, Woody Allen, who famously never goes to the Oscars, Annie Hall won Best Picture in 1977, beat Star Wars.
Why
Woody
doesn't
Allen,
he go?
Because he doesn't like the whole idea of it, doesn't have a suit. He was famously on the night, he'd be playing jazz with his jazz band, and he would never abandon that to go to the Oscars. But he did, he opened the Oscars after 9/11 and did this beautiful tribute to New York, because obviously he's so associated with making films in New York, and it was brilliant. And my other favourite Oscars bit is Steve Martin, when he introduced, you know that bit when they come on and they pompously go, they list the nominees for Best Actor and they go, you know, and he's a soldier, and this is the story of... Steve Martin was introducing, the year Gladiator came out, he said, these films this year, a homosexual poet, a guy who talks to his volleyball, a man who dresses up in gladiator outfits, but enough about me. These are the nominees. And honestly, go back and watch it on the YouTube. I'm not Steve Martin, I'm not a comedy genius, as I said last night on the Oscars, but it's such a great moment.
That is a good one.
And hilarious. Finally, sorry, who was your favourite Oscar?
My favourite Oscar... I like Oscar Isaac. I think he's okay, my favourite Oscar.
And topical.
He's kind of my favourite element of the new Star Wars films, like The Last Jedi. I think he's brilliant with that.
Yeah. Heavily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See? Do you know what? We have finished. I think we're wrapping up, and we've got 5 minutes to spare. So Steph can go off to a mystery assignations
meeting
with Liam B. George.
Yeah.
Presumably her husband. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Just enough time though, quickly to say that do get in touch with us at Steph Celan, at Boyd Hilton, at K Ribeiro, and obviously feel free to get on that iTunes.
She's back.
And
be scared.
Help us reach our target of 100 reviews by the end of April.
Welcome back, Kay.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.